Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you.
The first death of a person in Connecticut due to coronavirus complications was announced yesterday. A man was in his 80s. He was at Danbury Hospital. And before that, he was living in an assisted living facility in Ridgefield.
Oh.
So thoughts and prayers to the family.
Absolutely.
An additional 28 Connecticut residents have tested positive, bringing the total number of positive cases reported in the state to 96. So the governor signed another executive order yesterday.
Right.
It closes large indoor malls in places of amusement, but not parks and open space areas. So parks are not closed.
Right.
Open space areas not closed.
Do you go to the beach, stuff like that?
Malls and places of amusement.
Hmm.
They didn't want to say amusement parks.
Right.
Clearly, because there'd be confusion.
A place of amusement.
And that is effective 8 o'clock tonight. So if you want to go to a mall, if there are any open, now's your time.
Hit it.
County by county breakdown of the total positive cases statewide. Fairfield County, 69. Hartford County, 11. Litchfield County, 5. Middlesex County, 1. New Haven County, 10. And I know we have a new case in Oxford. Oxford has its very first case. And in an hour, we'll talk to the first selectman there, George Temple. Let's bring in Dr. Brown. He's the chief medical officer at Griffin Health. Good morning.
Good morning, Chaz.
Good morning,
AJ. How are you?
Good. What are you hearing from state officials and things? Good news, not good news?
You know what? We've been hearing very similar to what everyone else has been hearing. We're hearing that, you know, it's time to make sure that make sure our vulnerable population is protected. And by doing that is to try to prevent the spread of this virus.
On a 10 scale, how prepared do you think you are?
I think I'd say at Griffin Hospital, we're very prepared. I think we've had some lead time, and we've been watching this initially when it came out in late December. So we know this has been coming. We've been having regular meetings to discuss sort of our preparedness. I think, you know, we're initially in that phase where we wanted to focus on identifying patients and isolating them appropriately. So I think we've been able to really, you know, be ready. We've made some modifications to the hospital and our emergency department to manage the capacity.
Are you guys doing that outside testing, the drive-through?
We are. We've established our drive-through. It's been established. It's been built up. We still need to get approval. Going to make sure that it meets regulation.
Gotcha.
So we're getting.
How long do you think that'll take?
Today.
Oh, so that's one and done.
We are going to get inspected today, probably late morning. Hopefully, we'll be up and running this afternoon.
Fantastic.
Put a lot of work. We drilled through it, so hopefully, we should be good to go.
Oh, good for you! Now, what's the demand been like? Have you been getting a lot of walk-ins?
We have been. We've been getting a lot of walk-ins, and we've been getting a lot of calls. So, a lot of people have been calling the emergency department, our billing department, our health records department. Everyone's getting a phone call. We also have a hotline.
The billing department. That's the last place I'd call.
It's very interesting.
I think I have coronavirus. How much is this going to cost me first before I come in? Yeah.
So just as I said, I think people are getting a hold of a number and they're calling.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll put your number up on WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. Do you have enough beds, do you think?
Right now we do, and we've been able to expand to add at least another 20 beds. And a decompression unit that we had. Modified that, and we've made that as a respiratory infection unit. So it's all negative pressure.
We have Dr. Brown, Chief Medical Officer at Griffin Health, on. I've heard that some hospitals are moving patients out into assisted living facilities to open up beds at the hospital. Have you guys had to do that?
Not as of yet. We do have that also as a contingency plan. it would take quite a bit of effort to make some modifications and another facility. But it is definitely in a surge plan if we have to continue to add beds.
And you guys have enough test kits, and you feel pretty comfortable with that number now?
We do. It's still taking quite a while to actually get the results back. So that's an issue. The state's been really good, and they've really ramped it up. But it does take a while to get the tests back.
What's quite a while?
So through one of the vendors, Quest Diagnostics, it's taking 3 to 4 days to get it back.
Okay.
And I think this is why you're also seeing the increased number now throughout the country. If you look at it, we're actually getting, we're getting these tests back. So we haven't been able to really detect them. The testing has been pretty minimal up to this, I would say, up to this week. Even if you look at the country numbers, we've only got about 60,000 cases that have actually been tested. That's not a lot for the entire country.
Right. No, and I think they're doing a pretty good job getting us ready to expect numbers to just explode, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that means that it doesn't, again, that doesn't mean that people are, they will have the infection, but it means they're actively with the disease. I mean, this could be sort of resolution of the disease. So again, it's kind of detecting everybody that currently has it and may have it.
So right now you have enough beds. You feel good about that. You have tests, but the 3 to 4 day turnaround is frustrating. How about respirators and protective gear for your staff? And you feel like you have enough of that?
Right now we do. I think not only have we looked at, let's talk about our personal protective equipment. So personal protective equipment, we feel that we have a reasonable amount. I think we have a reasonable amount to last for a period of time and a surge. Now, hopefully that doesn't mean that we'll have enough, infinitely. We're going to need to make sure that we have a backup, and we're making calls to make sure that we have a supply coming back in.
And what are you hearing about the respirators? So the respirators we need for those who have breathing issues or are elderly, get coronavirus, having difficulty breathing.
Yeah.
This is going to help keep them alive.
Right.
Right. Correct. Those are those machines, AJ. They're on the wheels. They have the hoses.
Yeah.
Right.
Seeing them. Yep.
They're made in China. Oh. And now China makes them for the entire world. And now the entire world is asking for them.
Yeah.
How do you think that supply chain is going to go?
That's correct. And interesting enough, a lot of supplies come from China, including the gowns and gloves and masks that we need also. So my understanding is that China has started to ramp up their production. So it looks like there is going to be a production. But again, what does the delay mean to that?
Right.
When we talk about the ventilators, so respirators are a little bit more like ventilators. So these are machines that breathe for people. And hopefully we do not need to use that many of them. If you remember some of the stats that we spoke about before, 80% of these are mild, 14% are severe, and about 5% are critical. And of those, about half of those, 1% of the total will need to be on a ventilator. The problem is that this is a pretty, when you get to that point, it's a pretty bad disease, and you need to be on the ventilator for an extended period of time sometimes. That puts a lot of stress on the system.
Can we go through that again? Because I thought that was good news. 80% of the cases are mild.
Right.
Right. Correct. So basically, it's like you got the flu. Sit home. Let it run its course.
Yeah.
You're fine. And then what was the 14%?
14% are what we consider critical. So those are, critical. So those are the ones that you would need to go into the hospital. They need an additional support, likely not to be on a ventilator and likely not to be in the intensive care unit.
Okay. And then 6%. These are the people who really need the respirators.
5%, a little less than 5%.
Right.
And then of those are the ones that need extra support. And remember, this disease affects the older population. And unfortunately, baseline immunocompromised, because they're older, their immune system has never seen this virus before. And then the likelihood that they have some sort of comorbid illness, so another chronic illness, is very high. So that makes it very, that makes it difficult to treat. So these end up becoming patients who are in the intensive care unit. When they're in the intensive care unit, they need a lot of support.
I have to tell you,
being ventilated.
I feel like we'd all be taking this more seriously if it was knocking off 35-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
And up. You know, we'd all be, whoa, what are we doing?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's tough. So if you were a smoker, because we say elderly, but if you smoked your whole life, elderly lungs might be 50 or 45, right?
That's correct. That's absolutely right.
Everybody needs to think about this, take it seriously.
Exactly, yes.
Absolutely. I think everybody needs to take it seriously. You will hear some of the incidental data out there. You'll hear about, you know, the younger people who do get infected with this. Just because, you know, we're worried about the elderly. I mean, when you get up to the 80-plus-year-olds, we're talking about 15% mortality.
Right.
15%. That's impressive. That's a big mortality. But if you go down to the 70s, so 70 to 80, it's 8%. That's not a small number either. And then you break it down. If you still go down, it's not nothing. So if you start going to the 50 to 60s, 40 to 50s, there's still a percentage that's there. It tends to be a little bit higher in the 50s than it does in the 40s. You know, but as it goes down into the 30s and 20s, it does drop down. But there still is a mortality associated with those ages. I think it's important to know.
One of the people in the coronavirus task force in Washington said that there was some statistics that came out from Italy and another country that showed that millennials are not off the hook here. They're starting to show that some kids were getting this and pretty bad. Did you see any of that data?
I did. And it's definitely going to happen. I think it's millennials. It still seems to be very, very rare in children. So under 19, so teenagers and then younger, it's extremely rare.
So maybe before you go on the Miami booze cruise, you should think twice.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, right.
Absolutely.
I would.
Absolutely. Anything older, yes. And there's a concern also that, you know, patients within their 30s, that have a significant exposure, there's definitely been cases.
All right, Dr. Brown, Chief Medical Officer at Griffin Health. Keep us posted. Thanks for your time. I know it's valuable now.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
What do you do if you have parents or grandparents who need to be checked in on, but you don't want to bring this into their house?
Right, what do you do?
Because Jennifer, her mom is 76. She does not look it. You would not guess that.
Young 76.
Right.
Yes. Very young.
But
like
Jennifer 50s. Volunteered to go grocery shopping for her.
Nice.
Right? Which is nice. So now she doesn't have to be in the market.
Right.
But then, like, how do you keep that, whatever Jennifer may have picked up at the market, from getting in the house?
Don't go in the house!
You know, you heard us talking about HomeAids over the last few months. Tina, the director of home care with the HomeAids, is on the phone now. Hey.
Good morning.
Hey,
morning.
Good morning. The process has changed, right?
Yes, it has. So we're following, you know, all the CDC guidelines. We've put our policies and procedures in place so that, you know, we're still available 24/7, 365, and your loved one can get the care that they need without this exposure to corona. You know, we have taken steps, recommendations that all of our caregivers go through a screening before we place them on any case, new and existing. We ask a series of questions asking them the three main symptoms. Do you feel sick? Have you had a fever? Do you have a dry cough? Are you experiencing shortness of breath? Even if they call in and tell us that they just, you know, may not feel good, could be allergies, we are still not placing them and having them self-quarantine.
And that's the curveball on this time of year.
Yes. Yeah.
People are experiencing allergies and you don't know.
Right.
Yeah. No, you don't, because there's so much. There's allergies. The flu season has come back. And then there's people that are suffering just from seasonal colds and the possibility of pneumonia surfacing up. So we're just taking precautions all around and self-quarantining them until 2 weeks, checking on them. You know, making sure that they have not traveled on a plane recently out of state or out of country either. We've, you know, locked it down to just keeping them in Connecticut. So if they have traveled recently out of the state, we're asking them not to be placed on cases.
So that's what your people Now, are you taking on additional cases? Because now you have people who don't have any real health issues.
Yeah.
They're just afraid of getting a health issue.
Right, yeah.
Are you taking on those cases?
Yes, we are. We are still up and running. We continue to train our caregivers and educate them with our policy, the CDC guidelines. I do a lot of education with the family and the facilities. We have, gloves that are coming, more gloves coming on order. We're advising, talking about proper hand washing, alcohol-based hand sanitizer, if you can find it now.
Yeah. But that's all for your staff. It sounds like you pretty much have that all buttoned up, but you're taking on new cases.
We are taking on new cases, yes.
So if I have grandparents who I just don't want them going out, I can hire you guys to do stuff for them. Shop or whatever.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
Come in, play checkers with them.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right.
And
right.
All, companions.
Or racquetball.
Right.
Yeah. Or racquetball.
Stuff they like. Pinochle.
Right. Wrestle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Anything. Just to keep them engaged.
Excellent. Okay. What's the number to call for this?
It's 860-920-5800.
All right. Ashley's listening now. She'll post that up at WPLR.com. Someone will post it on 95.9 The Fox. Tina, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you, guys.
All
thank
right.
You.
Keep us posted. And it's great work that you're doing. And
yes.
You have you're part of the front line there fighting this. So we appreciate it.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Let's check in with Carrie. Her daughter thought she might have some symptoms and they went for a test. Hey, Carrie.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good, thanks. So
yes.
How did it all start?
So she started just simply with a headache. She was complaining of a headache starting Wednesday night. I didn't think much of it. She's a teenager. She said otherwise she felt fine. Sunday, she said her throat hurt a little bit. She had no fever. And then Monday morning, she called me at work. She said, I think I have strep throat. I said, okay, why do you think you have strep throat? She said, it hurts really bad when I swallow. I said, okay. I called her pediatrician and they said, come on in, we'll give her a strep test. I said, we'll be in an hour. So we get there, the strep test is negative.
Now, while you're doing all this, are you thinking anything about coronavirus? Your mindset was this could be,
Well, I'm thinking, do I even want to go in the doctor's office?
Right.
So then I asked her, could this be coronavirus? And she said, well, has she left the country? And I said, but isn't it in this country now? So,
yeah, really.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I thought the same thing. I look at the list of questions they're asking.
Yeah.
Have you been to a hotspot? Have you been? It doesn't even matter anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
No, it's
now,
here, right? Yeah.
You know.
Across the pond.
Have you been outside of a bubble? Yes. Okay.
Right. Boom.
Yeah. And they said, has she been in contact with somebody? I said, not that I know of, but I'm sure there's a lot of people she's been in contact with that don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
So she said, well, we're going to treat it as the flu. They did not give her a flu test. And they said because she has had symptoms for a few days, a flu test wouldn't matter. They couldn't give her Tamiflu. So then I went home. And then at about 4 o'clock at night, she started coughing. She started coughing. And now my fear is starting to go up. And then she comes out and her temperature is over 102. So I'm like, oh, boy. So then I called the doctor again. And the on-call night nurse, I said the same thing. I said, could this be coronavirus? It seems like the same symptom. She asked me again, has she been out of the country? And I'm like, no, I don't understand why that matters. So she said, well, we'll run it through the doctor and they'll call you in the morning. Give her Advil, give her Tylenol. She had 102 fever after she took Advil for an hour and a half.
Yeah, boy.
So it should have went down.
But in their defense, this still sounds like the flu.
The flu. Could be the flu. We have not gotten our results back yet.
Yeah.
Could be a bad, bad virus. It might not even be the flu.
Right.
But nobody knows.
Right.
We're all paranoid right now.
So they sent her for the test. Tuesday morning, they called and they said, yep, we're going to send her for the test. So they didn't even know if St. Mary's drive-thru was open at that point. But I called St. Mary's and they said, yes, we're open. Come on down. It was actually a very quick process, although very unpleasant for my daughter.
Oh, really? What is it? How long? All right. So you walk in and then tell it like
no,
how
you don't
long
walk did... in. You drive up.
Oh.
Right. So you drive through. Yeah. To a tent.
Right. So you drive up to the parking garage. It was across the street where St. Mary's emergency room is, the parking garage. There was police officers at both ends.
Wow.
And when you drive up to like the gate that usually comes up, they have a sign that says, hold up your prescription to the window.
Oh.
So, and it says, do not roll windows down. So I held up my prescription and then he let me through. and then you stop at the first station.
This
and the
is
nurse,
right out of a movie.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I have pictures I could send you. The nurses are standing there fully hazmat with just signs communicating with you through the window.
Wow.
So they took a picture of her prescription. We go to the next station where they're actually going to perform the test. Now they see that it's my daughter on the other side. Like they could tell because she obviously doesn't look very healthy. So they come over and the nurse did warn her. She said, this is going to be up your nose, you know, and she said, we got to go up there pretty far because that's where the virus likes to be. I've seen a flu test. They've given her a flu test before. This was a long stick that they stuck. It went like, she had to go up, gone through her nose to the back of her throat. It was so far. So the first time they stuck it up
there,
my daughter smacked the nurse's arm away.
Yeah, right.
She's still in the car?
She's in the car. Yep. They're doing it through the passenger window.
Wow. Yeah.
So she smacks the nurse's arm because it's probably shocked her. It hurt. She said it hurt.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the nurse looked very shocked, and I'm like, oh, my God, you cannot hit the nurse.
You do not hit the
right.
nurse.
Right. Don't touch the nurse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then the nurse was very, very nice. She's like, I understand it. You know, she's like, the quicker you, you know, she said, you look very sick. You have to get the test. So then she screamed, they did it, and then she cried the whole way home. Yeah, she said it hurt. She complained of her head hurting after, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. She had a big thing up her nose.
Oh, yeah. It was far.
Almost touching brain, yep.
All right, but this shouldn't keep people from getting the test.
No.
That's important.
No, but they should be prepared so maybe they don't smack the nurse.
Right, yeah.
Yes, be prepared. It's going to hurt just for a second, right. Then it's over.
Just for a second.
Right. Don't smack. No smacking.
All right, and then what day was that, and when do you get the results?
Tuesday at noon. So they said 24 to 48 hours, but I'm hearing stories from people that it's been 6 days and they still haven't had a result. So
six
I'm not
days.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get better now that tests
right.
are out
They're
there.
Probably backed up.
Right. I have, you know, this is speculation. I have a feeling they're going to announce numbers all at the same time, probably after the stock market closes on Friday.
Right, yeah.
And we're going to have a surge of numbers. They'll spend the next couple of days getting us ready for that. And then, you know, your daughter probably has it, right?
I have no idea at this point. I think my brain goes all different ways. She had an immune deficiency when she was little, so that worried me at first. But her counts and everything are fine. We're not worried about that. But, yeah, it is very concerning. Even if, you know, your kids get the flu, it's concerning, you know, but this especially is, I don't want to be quarantined for 2 weeks, but.
Yeah. Right. So that's the other part of this. So they take the test and say, you and your husband and your daughter in the house,
can't leave.
Don't leave.
Right.
Correct.
Have you been able to do that?
Yes. So we're home. We've both been working from home temporarily, hopefully not for 14 days. We're lucky. We have jobs that we can log in and work at home,
good.
But I'm sure a lot of people are.
Do you folks, lucky. Do you need anything?
No, we're good right now.
Right.
We got family. My son's an EMT, so I told him if I'm
very
stuck here
good.
For 14
excellent.
Days, he's gonna go get me some stuff
good.
And drop it off at the door.
All right, you have toilet paper, you know, because that's important.
For
it
now,
seems,
I'm
it
actually
seems...
running low, though.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
We could run some.
We were like, we don't need to panic. We're not going to go to the store like these crazy people and panic. Now I'm like, maybe I should have panicked.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we can run some toilet paper over for you if you need it.
I'm sure one of my many family members would love to bring me some toilet paper,
right,
but thank you very much.
Carrie, can you do us a favor when you get the results?
Sure.
Can you let us know? Because I know everyone's going to be wondering.
Absolutely, I will.
All right, thank you. Thanks for sharing your story.
Good luck.
You're welcome. Thanks. I listen to you guys every day. I just want to say, even on bad days, I get in the car, and if I'm in a bad mood or had a crappy day, you guys always have me laughing within minutes. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hopefully the test comes out fine. You guys... get sprung.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Disperse.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
All right.
Good. All right. So my home phone never rings. Last night it started making a noise. I'm like, what the hell is that?
What is that sound?
Yeah. What is that sound?
My goodness.
And then I pick it up and it's George's voice.
Hey, George.
First selectman running through some information. It was a reverse 911 call. So tell us what you can tell us.
Well, we had a positive as a healthcare professional, which only illustrates the gratitude we should have for these people because they
front
really
lines.
Are in the front line.
Yeah.
You know? And both he and his wife tested positive. He did. His wife is showing symptoms, so they're both going to be self-quarantining, and, you know, it'll be, I don't think it'll be very much of a problem in Oxford. He was employed outside of the town. I don't want to tell you which town.
Yeah, but, I got you.
He wasn't employed in Oxford, so.
All right. And then what's your advice for folks?
Well, I mean, you know, I think we have to put this whole thing in perspective. You know, it's not a death sentence if you get it. You know, it's a, you may get sick. Some people get sicker than others. You know, I think I check all the boxes of people that are really in danger, you know, a little older, you know, diabetic, heart, you know, all that.
Right, other issues.
Yeah, other issues, other health issues. But for the average person, it's you know, probably no worse than the flu. But once again, you know, I don't want to sound like a doctor. I certainly am not. But, you know, that's from what I see on Facebook, and I get all my knowledge from Facebook, so I know everything.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What about you? I mean, you're not the youngest guy. No offense. But
no,
you're in public service, and you have, you know, the whole community walking in your office
right.
every day. How do you, what are you doing differently?
Well, I mean, I'm washing my hands a lot more.
There you go, see?
You know.
Food tastes better now, right?
You're not shaking hands now, right?
No.
No, but sometimes you actually, you know, you forget all this stuff.
Right.
And, you know, no, oh, my God, I shook the guy's hand. But, you know, I'm an old submarine sailor. You know, I don't believe in, you know, overreacting or getting too excited about anything.
Right.
But just, you know, very calmly address the problem and do something about it. But as far as, you know, personally, you know, I have to be there. I signed on for this, and, you know, I'm going to see it through. And
right.
I have to be there for the town.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, and thanks for keeping us updated. Oxford had its first coronavirus confirmed case yesterday.
Right, and be safe.
And the numbers are only going to get worse. They're not going to get better.
Right.
Now that they're testing, we're going to hear a lot of cases, so
yes.
We shouldn't be alarmed. We're
right.
The good news is now we're going to know what we're dealing with.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right.
This
right.
is what we got, and
right.
now let's take care of it.
Adapt.
All right. Thank you, George Temple. Appreciate it. Nice job he does running Oxford.
Yeah.
Scott Haney, Channel 3.
Hello.
So
we
look at our television screen this morning, and we see you at in a very different setting.
Yes, it's my living room. Isn't
nice.
It lovely?
Very nice. Well
what's,
decorated.
What's
man.
The
Good
deal?
So
did your car break down?
No.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, I got sick.
Right.
I got really sick.
I remember that.
Fever. You remember that?
Yes.
So. And everybody at work was like, this was way before the corona whole thing.
Yes.
So, you know, and everybody was like, you should be home. And I was like, okay, I should be home. So I stayed home. Like
we said
day.
That to you, too.
Yeah, we're like, what are you, nuts?
Exactly.
Go to work? Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I was unable to get rid of the cough until yesterday. Like, I had this dry cough. I wasn't running a fever. I felt fine. But I was just not able to get rid of the cough, and I had a little shortness of breath. So I talked to my primary care physician, and he's like, you know, you should probably get tested. And I'm like, all right. So I got tested yesterday. And once you get tested, you got to wait for the results to come back before they let you back in the building at Channel 3.
Gotcha.
Right.
Right.
That makes sense.
So out of an abundance of caution,
okay.
I'm now doing the weather from my home.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to get it. God forbid, I don't think I am. But God forbid I am. I don't want to get anybody else infected, so I'm staying home.
Right.
Right. Did you ever have shortness of breath during this when you weren't feeling well?
A little bit, yeah. Not horrendous. But, again, you know, everything, you know, you get a common cold these days. You think you got the corona.
It's true, yeah.
Well, can I tell you, I've been using so much hand sanitizer.
Uh-huh.
I was in the studio a few days ago, And I thought I felt a tickle in the back of my throat. Like, you know how you feel when you're starting to get a cold?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I realized it's the hand sanitizer. It's the alcohol in the hand sanitizer. I have so much of it. It's all I'm breathing in.
Gotcha, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're all freaking out. Plus, it's allergy season. So
the whole nine yards.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Right.
Now. Right. So, like, you know, I feel completely fine. But I'm just going to wait for the results to come in. They said they'll have them back in no later than 5 days. So I'm hoping that includes the weekend.
5 days.
5 days.
That's what they said. Possibility up to 5 days. I might get them back sooner.
Right.
We're just going to have to wait and see. But I was the first one. I went to Manchester yesterday, and I was the first person to drive up in their clinic.
Nice.
They were like, oh, my God, it's Scott Haney. And right. I was like, hi, how are you?
And they're like, are you here to cover the story? Nope, I'm here to get tested.
Yeah, I am the story.
Here to get a test.
Yeah, I am the story. Yeah, yeah. So it's tomorrow, Pajama Friday tomorrow or what?
Say it again?
So Pajama Friday tomorrow or what? And your broadcast.
Pajama Friday tomorrow or what?
Right. So, oh. Right. No, you know
different
what?
Theme days.
I got dressed this morning. I just pretended it was like a normal day.
Gotcha.
I got up, showered. I picked out my clothes the night before. I came down. I made my coffee. I got my cat. The only thing different is I got my cat on my lap who will not let me go. He's right. Just like, he's like, what are you doing home?
What's your cat's
name? He's
like,
I love this.
What's your cat's
name?
Dash. That's right.
See?
Dash.
Dash.
Yeah, he made a preview on the morning news this morning.
All right. And then do you look around your house and say, all right, I don't want that on television. Let's move this. Let's
right.
not put this picture in the shot.
Exactly.
No. No, I did adjust the shelves behind me, yes.
Yeah.
The news director called me yesterday. He's like, because I have shelves behind me, like little cubbies.
Right.
And he's like, you got to put something in those cubbies. And I was like, all right, never thought about that. All right, I'll put something in the cubbies to make it look like I got something going on.
Oh, so they were empty cubbies.
Empty cubbies. I'm a very minimalist when it comes to...
I like that.
So you're staging things.
My cubbies.
Right.
I like everything nice and neat. I don't like to see anything, but I do have a few decorations, so I put them out behind me.
All right. What were the few items that you decided to put in there?
A glass, a bowl. what's the famous glass maker?
I know what you're
don't
saying.
Don't ask me.
Yeah. Jennifer knows.
Yeah. Anyway, it's one of those bowls.
Right.
Then I got a candle. I got a couple of onyx things that I got in Italy. So I just put them up behind
all
me.
Right, so
and,
some of your nicest glassware.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not Jalisco. It's, it's driving me nuts. Somebody gave it to me as a gift. I would never afford it on my own.
I know what you're talking about, too. It's going to pop into my head as soon as I let you go.
Pyrex?
Exactly. Yeah. Pyrex, yes.
Walmart.
Pyrex
right?
glass.
Hey, you go, see?
I know,
very
what you're
funny.
I know what you're talking about. As soon as I hear it, I'll be like, yeah,
Waterford?
That's it.
No.
Waterford?
No. 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 It's hand-blown glass up in New York or
expensive.
Something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
There you go. See?
That all right. Well, we saw that. We wanted to check in and make sure you're okay.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Keep calling.
All okay, right. We'll
we
do.
We will. All
right, yeah, we'll talk tomorrow anyway.
Perfect. Thank you, Scott.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Right. Yep, yeah, babe.
Scott Haney, Channel 3 News. We're going to check in with Connecticut Children's Hospital in a second with some important information. You know, parents are a little uneasy right now, rightfully so.
Yep.
So we'll have some good info for you. Joe the Barber.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I have a buddy of mine who's been traveling from store to store with the portable, the travel size empty containers that he's going into the bathroom and stealing the... sanitizing soap.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
No, I'm not.
Wait, did you say this person is a friend of yours?
Oh yeah, he's a cheap son of a gun. Oh, it's crazy.
He's
crazy.
Going
yeah,
into bathrooms stealing hand soap.
Yes.
Stuff that's yes, you know, to protect there, people.
The hand gel, the hand sanitizer that you can't get. Not even the soap, just the hand sanitizer.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's very
I
crazy.
Can you believe it? Oh, it drives me nuts. I
that's right.
He was telling me about that.
Hmm. That's the person you kind of want to hear this.
Exactly.
I don't want to say that.
Yeah, had an accident.
Yeah.
They slipped on the soap and
right, slipped
on
the soap and fell down the stairs.
Exactly.
They're going
right.
to be fine, but,
right,
you know.
Right.
Just, yeah, karma
they're
just came fine. And tripped them down
they get,
the stairs.
They got banged up a little bit.
I even said that to him. Like, you're the person that should get the virus right.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Well, we don't want anyone to get the virus, but maybe if
no,
he just fell down
not
the stairs and got some bruises, that would be fine.
On the soap, yeah.
Exactly.
You got to tell this guy to call us.
He's probably still sleeping. I was trying to wake him up.
All right. Well, yeah. We're here until 10.
Right.
You got it, brother.
All right. Thank you. We don't have to give his name out on the air, okay?
No, no, no. Like, no,
we
just not at all. Not at all.
Just want to talk to him.
Free, guys.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Phone lines are open. We get the best stuff from you. 1-877-764-2535. Less than an hour from now, Jimmy Koplik on the show. A lot of concert information, but some big breaking news right out of the gate when he comes on.
Cool.
Let's talk to Gil, President and Chief Operating Officer at Connecticut Children's Hospital. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Gil.
It's always great to have you on.
Yes.
What do we need to know? Now, so parents are uneasy with this, and they want to know information about this. Is there a hotline they can call?
Yes. We have a Connecticut Children's COVID-19 hotline dedicated just to parents. It's available 24 hours a day. The number is 833-226-2362. We understand that parents have a lot of questions and want to know how this is impacting kids. So we have experts that are trained, clinicians, to be able to answer those questions. So, again, 24 hours a day, 833-226-2362.
And we'll post that at WPLR.com and 959thefox.com, 1-833-226-2362, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what kind of questions are you getting?
We have a lot of parents concerned about how this is going to impact their kids, and if their kids do get sick, what to do. And so there's resources that the hotline will be able to answer. We also have the website posted and actively updated, ConnecticutChildrens.org/coronavirus. These are tools of how to speak to your kids, how to build resiliency, and what parents need to know and what they need to communicate to kids. And so
John is in our production room in for Phil. He has a question.
Yeah, Gil, you know, my wife is really the one who wants to ask this question, but we have a 7th-month-old at home. And, you know, obviously the flu can be dangerous for, like, infants and stuff like that. What's the impact of COVID-19 on someone around that age?
Yeah, what we know and what our clinicians have been sharing is that, fortunately, COVID-19 is not as impactful on children. That being said, is we have a lot of worried parents who understand that when children are displaying symptoms, they want to know answers. And so we highly recommend connecting with your community pediatrician, and then also looking at the website that we've posted with tools and symptom checkers for you to be able to identify whether you need to take the next step with your child. The good news for children is that, especially based on our studies in Italy, of what's happening in Italy, children are, for the most part, not as impacted. That being said, there are positive tests around the country that have impacted kids less than 18 years old. And so,
yeah, so don't dismiss it, but don't panic.
Right.
And the key is just to have the resources you need to feel comfortable that your child is safe. And that's what Connecticut Children's is here to do.
Very hard with a baby because they can't tell you.
Right. Just yell
so it's a guessing game.
Right.
Yeah.
Point to it.
Right.
Thank you, Gil.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And so are you guys ready?
Yeah, we are. We've got a preparedness plan. We've got supplies and team members ready to go. And we're here to support not only the kids that we serve, but the parents. And so we want to be a resource to the community. We're the only children's hospital in the state dedicated to kids. And so we want parents to feel comfortable reaching out to us or going to our website. And we're there for the community.
I have a feeling that this thing is going to progress to a point where folks who may specialize in a particular type of healthcare is going to be transferred or floaters.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, folks who are in a children's hospital might be asked to work somewhere else in an adult ward.
Exactly.
You,
yeah.
You foresee that? Are you guys ready for that?
Yeah, our team is dedicated to kids. So since we're the only children's hospital in the state, the people that work for us are dedicated to kids. And so what we've been able to do is identify those who are trained also in adult care and be good colleagues to adult hospitals across the country.
Right.
But our experts are 100% focused on kids. And so what we're going to do is optimize them to be able to support these clinical call lines that I just mentioned, updating our resources and being available to our parents. But our teams of experts, whether infectious disease experts or nurses, are ready to support the community, both in the prevention space, but also in the treatment.
I saw the feds say yesterday,
I don't know if it was immediate or in the works, that doctors will be able to cross state lines and practice. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Yeah, that's important for physicians who are licensed by state, and for them to be able to provide services in another state, they need to be able to be licensed in that state. And so those rules are being addressed to be able to make it easier for physicians to practice across state borders. We are working very aggressively on doing what's called virtual visits. So there's a lot of kids who still need to have their clinic follow-up appointment or nutrition follow-up appointment. And what we're doing is developing a virtual visit where they can literally do it from their home.
Wow.
And so we've already launched. We had GI neurology and pulmonology as an example yesterday. Seeing kids from their living room, again, not exposing the kids to having to leave the home, but at the same time continuing their care. Because during this period, it's very important that we continue to care for these kids, especially those who have higher acuity. Those who have less urgent or patients that who don't need to be seen immediately, we can reschedule for a later date. But there are some patients that we do need to see and stay connected. So it'll be up to the parent and clinician to decide what makes sense.
I have a feeling that this will be something we do in the future on a regular basis.
Right? Yeah.
It seems like we're going in that direction. But we appreciate you guys and girls being ahead of this thing and setting up this number for parents. It's open 24 hours, 7 days a week. If you're a parent and you have a question, call this number, 1-833-226-2362. That's up at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. Gil, President and Chief Operating Officer at Connecticut Children's Hospital. Thank you, brother. Let's talk to Cameron from Market 32. He's the overnight manager there. Runs the store from 9 to 7:30. What do we need to know?
Oh, it is a madhouse here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're my store. All right. So this is where I go shopping.
That's a great store.
Right.
Nice. That's good to hear. Thank you. Yeah. We take great pride in it.
What do we need to know?
We get a truck almost every night. We don't get it Wednesdays and Sunday night. So we get lots of customers coming in, Monday and Thursdays. And they're always looking for, obviously, toilet paper, paper towels, and water, the essentials.
Right.
And it just sucks because with the warehouse being short, or the high demand of it, we just don't get it. And so far, we haven't had any rude customers or anything big, but it just sucks telling people that we don't have that stuff.
So, you guys have been good on your Facebook page about letting people know when you're getting deliveries and what you have.
Right.
So they can go to your Facebook page?
Yes. It's actually not mine. It's not a Market 32 related.
It's like the Oxford thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great community page, and it has lots of information on there throughout the town. And so I just been updating on that, and everyone's been really appreciative of that. And it's just been great communicating with everyone and keeping people up to date.
Do you think you guys will put in a limit as to what folks can buy?
Yes, we already have implemented that. For toilet paper, it's 2 for rolls, and then paper towels, it's 4.
Okay. Paper towels, man. Those are the people who the paper towels sell when the toilet paper's gone, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, there's going to be so many septic problems.
Then comes the napkins
and plugs,
right.
And you're worried about cleaning your hiney.
Yep. Yep.
You're going to have that stuff floating through your house.
Right.
Who started this whole thing? Like, someone said something, and everyone's like, we need to get toilet paper.
Exactly. When even the one part is gone.
Yeah.
The loose leaf paper. Yeah.
Food, water, important.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. I have no idea where the obsession of toilet paper came from.
Right.
Yeah. But
It's crazy.
All right. Everyone needs to pace themselves.
Right.
Everyone needs to take a breath. We need to know the numbers are going to get worse before they get better.
Right. Chill.
I know it's, it's scary, but for most people, you're going to get something that feels like the flu, and then it's going to go away.
Exactly. Right.
Most people.
Yeah. Right.
80% mild.
Yep.
Most people come right back. They're already out. They're already done.
Yep.
Right. So we got to take it seriously.
Right.
wash the hands and stay in and all of this stuff.
Yep, yep.
And if you feel sick, don't go out. All these things. But it's going to be fine, everybody. Yeah. So
I agree.
All right. I'm sorry. I bought like 12 cans of soup from you Sunday. I got caught up in the hype.
12 cans is nothing.
I know. It's really nothing, but I felt bad. I felt like there's some elderly person not going to get these cans of soup now.
Were they going to eat that soup, though? What'd you have?
All right. Anything else you want folks to know?
No, that's just about it. It's just,
does he sound like a stressed out person?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Like major stressed out.
You're doing a good job. He's an overnight manager, Market 32 in Oxford. I love that store, by the way.
It's a great
don't
store.
Go there. Don't plug up my store. Like, if you don't go there already, just don't.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. Thank you. Big fan of the show.
Thank you. He's such a great guy.
Yeah.
It's a great market.
He sounds really stressed out. He really does. I can hear him sweating. Like, I hear sweating.
What was Kevin Bacon saying in Animal House?
Be calm, all is
Become,
well.
Be calm, all is well.
And then they ran him over.
Yeah, he was just a flat cartoon-like character. Let's go to George Colley right now, a reporter, an old friend of ours.
George.
Good morning, gentlemen. Talked to you guys at a lot of times over the last 10 years. Nothing quite like this.
No.
This one's different.
Now, you know someone who's been tested or waiting for a test for a coronavirus.
I know somebody that was in Florida. So they got on a plane, flew back last week, no symptoms, feeling fine. Ended up the next night after the plane flight, had started to get some coughs. He's in the range that needs to be concerned about this, 60s, a few conditions. And so went to the doctor. Doctor said, if you weren't on the plane, probably wouldn't be testing you here, but let's just make sure. That was last Thursday. It's now a week later. They're still waiting. And so, I'm not necessarily, because everybody's dealing with a situation like this, but what my concern is that we may have a 7-day backup right now with tests. I mean, I don't know if there's priorities in different areas of the state right now where there may be hotspots where they're getting tested first. Certainly everything going on at Danbury Hospital, that would maybe be understanding.
Right.
But there hasn't been a confirmed test that they have on their list of 96 cases yet that's east of the river. And
you make a good point.
You're
they
wondering
must be
if
coding,
these are being tested or not.
You make a good point, George. They must be coding these tests in terms of priority.
Right.
Right.
Well,
they're not
going to
tell us, but
today.
First responders, nurses, healthcare, cops, firefighters, one.
Right.
Boom, they go
you
right
would,
in and get tested.
Think, right? Exactly.
Turn
right.
it around in days and then different levels after that. Right.
I mean, I can only tell you, I hope that this is maybe a question that gets asked at the press conference today to find out if that's happening. Are some of these tests getting backed up because there are priority tests here at the beginning?
Yeah.
Or are we looking at a 7-day backup? And what makes me really concerned, if it's the second option, and I really think that the government's going to need to clear this up because people don't know right now, is that, this test was taken while the NBA was still having a season, when the NHL was still having a season, when there still was going to be an NCAA tournament starting today. So the world, in a lot of cases, didn't start taking this serious until all that started getting canceled last Thursday night and Friday.
Yeah.
And so how many cases could we get dropped on us in the next week when this all comes out? And I hope that they're not being held until Friday at 5 o'clock, when it's a regular kind of bad news data dump, because a person that I know has been in quarantine for 7 days, has zero symptoms, has had the cough and everything that first day, but never had a fever.
Right.
And I think that it's, there's a lot of people that are going through this right now. And, the fact that I have not seen, although it's another concern that I have, is that while in that list of 96 cases, there are nothing from like Tolland County, say, or from east of the river.
Now, you tweeted something about Tolland, right?
Yeah.
There's a confirmed case there, but there was no listing of that.
I think the governor at 4:39 yesterday, before his press conference, sent out the updated list of how many confirmed cases per county. He then held, and it was 96 cases. He then held the press conference.
You mean his people sent it out?
Right.
I don't picture the governor with his phone.
Tweeting that out right now. Thank you.
Oh, hold on.
How does this work again? I'm playing Candy Crush.
Right.
So the governor's office tweeted that out. And then during the press conference, one of the biggest news that came out of it is that there's a patient, a nursing home patient from Stafford Springs that has this test. But Stafford Springs is in Talon County, and Talon County is not even listed on that list of 96 cases that got put out. So is that, as everybody is reporting it, as 96 cases in the state, I think we got to say that there's at least 97, because the one case in Talon County, you know, there's nothing from Talon County included in that.
Right.
And I'm just a little bit concerned here with some of the numbers that are coming out, that they're accurate. There's nothing more important than accurate information at a time of crisis.
Yeah,
currency, it's gold. And so far, you know, I think there's a lot of things that are going right here in the state. But the governor's office has allowed some misinformation to spread, starting with the rumor of 200 nurses at Danbury Hospital the other day that they let go national without clearing up that that wasn't accurate. And, you know, now the next day they come
mistakes up with will be made. How long did it take them to clear that up?
It still hasn't been cleared up. If you Twitter search 200 nurses on Twitter right now, you see the impact of letting misinformation spread.
Of course, that one's going to go viral, right, and then the fix never does. But
well,
he did.
I think
his office
the governor
did
tweeted
fix it.
Out something. He tweeted out that, you know, after that there were 200 employees, but there was never. Just stand up and say I misspoke. Make it very clear so that national news doesn't pick up this information. Spread it worldwide, and then later that night, Fox News catches on that it's not real and is calling the governor a liar, and half the people aren't going to be taking him serious.
Right.
That's the concern you have when you don't step up and stop this misinformation.
We've been trying to get the governor on, and I would understand him not wanting to come on to talk about tolls or policy.
Right.
We have not been a fan and probably his most outspoken critic. However, this is different. This is a crisis, and you need to come on and just do your town hall meetings over the phone here.
Exactly.
He's made time for MSNBC, which I don't know if talking to California is as important as talking to Connecticut.
Right.
He's made time for AM stations where you get three or four listeners. I mean, this is a big platform.
Yeah.
You got to come on.
Yep.
I blame where I would blame the governor isn't for the original misspeaking on that, right? I mean, and the stories of people know, if they don't know it yet, he came out on MSNBC and said there were 200 nurses at Danbury Hospital who couldn't get tested and were on furlough because they couldn't get tested. And it turned out that it was 200 employees over seven hospitals for the entire hospital network, about 1.5% of the entire hospital network.
We do have to cut him some slack on that.
You got to cut him slack on that, absolutely.
Trained for this. No one planned for it. There's small little plans here and there, but man, this is big.
Yep.
And all right,
This is where I think he had a chance to clear it up. I mean, he was on CNBC the next day. He was on CNN twice. He was on MSNBC twice, and they asked about that, and it hasn't been cleared up.
Right.
And so when you get called out, and now you've got Fox News viewers that watch Tucker Carlson across the world calling Connecticut's governor a liar, he was failed when they didn't clear it up for him.
Well, he misspoke.
He had an opportunity the next day.
But yeah, I mean, he should focus his media more on this state.
Yeah.
Yes. We have to find out information about Connecticut through the New York governor.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like he's gone on his national TV news network tour.
Yeah.
And he's forgetting about the big platforms here.
Hello.
And that's why the first time that he gets out there like this on something national, it can't be for something that's not accurate.
I don't want to be that person who's, he's our leader right now.
Yeah.
And it's a crisis. So. Yeah.
And I think that, I know you guys got other callers there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't been working in journalism here the last few months, but the journalists in the state have to ask that question. They have to press them. They can't be afraid to ask any questions.
Can I tell you what the problem is? This is one, and I'll tell you, they're in a tough spot. It's not their fault.
If you ask this
governor or the last governor difficult questions, you get your access cut off.
Yep.
Believe me, there's nobody that knows what happens when you ask tough questions more than me with the last two administrations.
Yeah.
But I think that it's at a point where if all of a sudden misinformation gets spread on a national or international level, as this was, really that's a failure on the local level for letting it get to that point.
Well, we still have an open invitation for the governor, and he's always welcome here.
And I hope he goes on, because you guys have always asked him every single question that needs to be asked. And I'm not blaming journalists here. They are going through a lot. I know what the print, what the TV and the radio guys are going through, because I've worked for all of those mediums. I know how hard this is right now. They are doing God's work.
Yeah.
And keep on it, and the people are going to be nasty.
And I don't want to be a critic of the governor now. Not at this time.
Yeah.
But, all right, George, thanks for coming on, man. Keep us posted.
Thank you.
Good morning, brother.
Hey there. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Very good.
Okay.
So, sitting at home.
There you go. See? You're safe there.
Very good.
I'm getting lonely already, though.
Yeah,
ready to go back to work.
It's nice to hear your voice. It's a calming voice.
Exactly.
Here.
Well, thank you very much. You must remain calm in these crazy times. And we are going crazy right now, internally, not externally.
Right. We have, obviously, folks listening have lots of questions about concerts and shows. And I know you have some breaking news, so we'll get to that, and then we'll run through some other stuff.
Sure. First of all, I just want to mention that because of the coronavirus over in Europe, we are unable to get our roof from France, where it's being made, and our lights from Italy, where they're being made. So we are not going to open up the Bridgeport Amphitheater this season, which is a terrible disappointment to us. But we thought about opening up without a roof this year, which we certainly could have done. But it's really not the venue I wanted to present to everybody. And I've been doing this for 52 years, and I always am very, very concerned about, number one, the artist, equally the customer, the fan, and, of course, my own company. And if you look at all three elements that I'm concerned about, having a venue without a roof versus a venue with a roof, it's much better to have a roof.
Roof,
so we are going to not have a 2020 season in Bridgeport.
Wow. And safety of people and doing it right. And, I can see all that factoring together.
Yeah, Howard and I had a long talk about it. And we could have opened up with we have really, really great lights being made in Italy. We could have canceled that order with no problem because they're in Italy, and just had lights made here and probably gotten them in time. But we would have opened up without a roof. We work with a company called FTL, and they're from France, and they've done roofs for me before in my other amphitheaters that I've built, and they're a great organization, but they're in France, and they can't promise that they can deliver the roof in time, and if they can't promise they can deliver a roof in time, I don't want to have a concert without people sitting under a roof. That's part of the beauty of the new amphitheater in Bridgeport.
So when is the projected opening for the amphitheater?
May of 2021.
Okay.
Now everybody's going to say, wait, I bought tickets to some shows there already.
Right.
So the answer to that is if you bought tickets, only two shows went on sale so far, which was the Steve Miller Band on August 15th and the Deftones on August 24th. We will refund everybody's money over the next week or two. It takes time. I've already authorized refunds officially yesterday, but Ticketmaster is busy rescheduling shows and putting new dates on sale and things like that throughout the country. So there'll be a short delay. Normally it happens within 24 hours. My guess will happen 7 to 14 days. Everybody will get their money back from the tickets they bought. And we have rescheduled the shows. The Deftones will now be playing the Mohegan Sun Arena on August 24th, the same day. And Steve Miller Band will be heading up to Wallingford and playing Oakdale.
Oh, wow.
On August 15th, which is a Saturday night. And we will re-put tickets on sale at some point. Anybody who bought tickets to either show will have a special pre-sale. So they will have the opportunity to buy tickets first. We thank them for believing in us, and we are going to create a special pre-sale for both shows that will only be open to the people that bought tickets to those two shows, and then we'll put the rest of the shows on sale when life gets back to normal.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And who knows when that'll be.
Hopefully soon.
No. We don't know that. That's an open-ended question. You're absolutely right. I am hoping to have the pre-sale set up for sometime next week.
Oh, wow.
So people can at least know that they are taken care of for the shows they bought tickets for. We'll have more info on that. I'm hoping Deftones will be first, since we sold a couple of thousand tickets already for the Deftones.
Right.
That's going to be a pretty big project to set up a pre-sale for those people. Hopefully we'll have that done early next week, and we'll announce it here and everywhere else.
If you're just tuning in, Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation Concert God, is on the show announcing that the Bridgeport Amphitheater, due to coronavirus supply chain issues, will not be opening in 2020, but will be opening spring of 2021. The two shows that went on sale have been relocated, Deftones at Mohegan Sun and Steve Miller at Toyota Presents Oakdale. Deftones August 24th and Steve Miller August 15th. There'll be a special pre-sale for those who purchased tickets already. And so now what do we, do you start booking shows for 2021 for the amphitheater?
We will be, we will certainly be doing that. But, right now our whole life is busy rescheduling shows. That will be something that will start soon. I do want to mention that there was a third show that was announced for the amphitheater but never put on sale, which was the Blackberry Smoke Almond Betts Band JMO package that was going to be held July 28th at the amphitheater that now will be moving also to Mohegan Sun. But we had not sold any tickets yet, so that on sale will come on sometime, I would guess, in April or early May.
Of the two principal parties putting this amphitheater together, you and Howard, who do you think is taking it the best?
Let's think. Let's see.
I think I'm taking it better because it's Howard's money.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Right.
So, but Howard was the first person to come to me with the suggestion. So as us Jews call each other with great respect, he's a mensch.
Gotcha.
He came to me first and suggested it, and I sort of recoiled back when he said it, and he said, listen, we're not going to open up right. I want a roof on my amphitheater. It's going to cost him a lot of money, and it's going to cost Live Nation a lot of time, but he really is a great partner, I have to say. He was just as concerned about the persons watching the show as I was, and finding a partner like that's rare.
Oh, that's fantastic.
See? All right.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know what? This is part of it. And when you put everything in the big perspective, we can deal with a 2021 opening. It's easy for me to say. It's not my money.
Yeah, really.
Well, but no, you're right. And by the way, we have not officially announced it to the public yet, other than the PLR listeners. This will be a press release sent out at 9:15 this morning. But as I've always said to you, I like giving news first on our show here.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
So that 9:15, the rest of the state of Connecticut will find out what we're talking about.
Is this the most amazing thing you've ever been through?
I've been asked that question, and the answer easily is yes. 52 years I've been doing this now. I have run out of money. I've lived off credit cards. I've been hit by lightning at concerts. I've had riots at concerts. And this easily is the hardest thing I've ever had to go through. We're right now in the midst of rescheduling 51 concerts locally, and we're doing it remotely because none of us are in the office. We closed our Live Nation offices, so we're all doing it by conference calls and emails, and it's very, very difficult. We just mentioned a couple of shows that we're moving, but we had 9 other confirmed shows besides the 3 I mentioned at the amphitheater already, and this was only in March. We were probably going to hit at least 20 this year. So now we're in the midst of rescheduling the shows that we had not announced yet and not put on sale.
Oh,
yet,
can we hear what some of those shows were?
Well, I hate to jump the gun on some of them, but I will certainly say that the next one we were going to announce was the country band Little Big Town.
Oh, cool.
Which is going to be moving out to Mohegan Sun.
Right.
And there's just a bunch more. It's too early because I haven't figured out where to move them yet. Mohegan Sun's moving all their shows. So we're in a little bit of difficulty moving some of our amphitheater shows into Mohegan Sun because we want to give them preference on their shows moving first.
It's pretty amazing. So everything is closed.
Yep.
Yeah, now Mohegan's only closed for a couple more weeks from what I understand, and then they're going to make another decision. We're closed through April as far as concerts because of the governor's edict that there are no mass gatherings through the month of April, if I remember correctly. So right now we're postponing, and I want to, we've not canceled one show yet. I want to make that very clear. Every show has been rescheduled for this year. So it's not we haven't lost a concert in the state. We're just moving them around. So I think you're going to see the same amount of entertainment. It will just be in a smaller amount of time. That's
so
all.
Does that mean less Friday, Saturday shows? I mean, those are the ultimate. Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows. Does that mean now we're going to see more Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday shows?
No, not at all. Because if you think about it, the show Blackberry Smoke was on a Tuesday, and that still is on a Tuesday.
Oh, great.
And Steve Miller was on a Saturday. It's still on a Saturday. And Deftones was on a Monday. It's still on a Monday. So we're doing the best we can to actually make it the same day of the week to make it easier for people.
Nice.
And the routing for the artists is a lot easier if they just literally lift up their itinerary that was going to take place in April or May and just throw it into September. So, no, I don't think it's going to change the dates, days of the week at all. We are very lucky to be in the business we're in. Because a hotel room, once it's not used, it never can get used again. But concerts, we can just reschedule them later in the year. So we are feeling no economic loss, just a lot of pain of moving things.
What happens with your staff?
Everybody's getting paid in full.
Nice.
All full-time people are getting paid in full.
Wow. That's amazing. Yep. You know, as you were listing the big things, getting hit by lightning, running out of money, building Xfinity, you forgot to mention one of the highlights, and that was having a passed out backstage Joe Walsh dipped, having his beans dipped in ice water to wake him up so the Eagles could perform at Yale Bowl, one of the most famous concerts in Connecticut.
Biggest concert in history.
Yep.
Right.
And it'll never be beaten, 70,000 people. There's no venue that can hold 70,000 people, so I'm sure it will last our entire lifetimes. If you were there, you were at the biggest concert in history. And yes, and I was afraid that there'd be no lead guitarist for the Eagles. And we actually had started to talk to the lead guitarist of Heart or the Little River Band and seen if they knew Eagle songs, which I had never mentioned before. And the Eagles were so iconic that they both talked about getting on stage and they could probably fill in all the riffs together if they both took the stage, if we couldn't wake Joe up.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was it. It was so funny. We put the set list in front of them and said, okay, which one of you guys know more of these songs? We'll put you on stage. And between them, we figured we could probably get most of the songs played if both of them were on stage, if Joe couldn't get on stage.
Just piece together. We'll make it work.
Connecticut's still open for business.
Yes.
All right, we have a lot of great restaurants that maybe you're used to going in to the dining room or the bar, and now you could still go in, get that great food. Like meatballs, and take it home and have it at home.
Meatballs.
Dave from Riverview Bistro's on now. Hey, brother, how are you?
Good morning. How is everybody?
Good morning. Thanks.
Good morning to you.
So you have the full menu or a partial menu? What can we get there now?
So we're doing our full lunch and dinner menu to go. Curbside pickup, 20% off. That's what we're offering.
Wow. Smooth.
Yeah. So we're this afternoon, we're going to be off. We're putting together packages for like families of four so people can go on our Facebook page and follow us. They will always see the updates that way. They'll see the specials of the day. They'll see the options we're offering. That way, we're trying to help out people as well because so many people are out of work.
Right. That's awesome.
Yep.
What does this closing down do for you guys? How hard does that hit you?
So, I think the biggest challenge of it is the fact that there was no notification. So there was nothing to prepare for, all of a sudden 8 o'clock Monday are closed and we find out Monday morning. So that by itself was a lot to work with.
And can we say it was the day before St. Patrick's Day? So everyone stocked up on booze, food,
worst timing.
You write out big checks and then now you're sitting on it. Yeah. Not great, but in their defense, this snuck up on everybody.
Yeah.
No, it did. And it was, I don't think anybody prepared for it to take off the way it did.
Right.
I think that we normally sit back and watch something and then go, yeah. And this was far different from that.
I think you're right. It didn't sneak up on us. We just didn't think it would overtake us so quickly.
Yes.
Right. No one anticipated this because we've never gone through anything like this. This is first time ever for anything of this nature.
Man, so I love this Riverview Bistro, full lunch, full dinner menu, curbside pickup, 20% off.
Nice, see?
Wow.
It's all good.
Yep, yep. And like I said, following us on Facebook, we're going to do the family meals for four people. We're going to be putting those out today. We definitely have the meatballs. We know that's for sure a favorite.
Meatballs is grandmother's recipe, by the way.
It's fantastic.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. And then they were actually at the Food Fest, which I'm hoping we're going to have this year. Are we having a Food Fest this year?
It's on the schedule, brother.
Yes, it is.
That's what we like to hear. Yeah. That's what we like to hear.
Yep.
We will bounce back. And, you know, once we bounce back, everyone's going to want to go out.
Yep.
It's going to be bananas.
Place is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
They'll be stir crazy. So, imagine being trapped in one place for 14 days.
Listen, why would you go to the supermarket and deal with all of that and expose yourself and then have to go home and cook all the food when you could drive by a local restaurant like Riverview Bistro?
Exactly.
Get the food brought out to your car, get 20% off, get a family of special for four.
Yeah.
All of this, it's brought out to your car. You go home, you eat the meat. It's all prepared for you.
It's all good.
There you go. I love it. All right. So we're linked up at WPLR.com, 95.9thefox.com. Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. This guy's the best.
Yeah,
he's the best.
Awesome. Always there for
us. He is the best.
Always there for us.
All right. He's ready for you.
Yes, he is. So
go eat.
Go see.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.